Lecture 8, Kings and Princes of Western Europe.
In this lecture, I plan to deal with the kings and princes of Western Europe, and in a wider fashion, look at the revival and development of European political institutions that made the Crusades possible. The economic and social changes I've discussed were at a very basic level, dealing with the manner and changes in agriculture. And in some ways, political life also paralleled this. You were dealing with a very localized political organization in early medieval Europe. And by the time of the Crusades in 1095, when the First Crusade is preached, Europe has made some remarkable strides in political organization. Even so, it was not the kings of Europe that responded to the call of Urban II. None of the three great kings actually assumed the cross. These would be William Rufus, King of England, Philip I of France, and the then Holy Roman Emperor and King of Germany, Henry IV. Instead, we shall see that it is the nobles, especially the nobles of France and of the eastern regions of France today that were then part of the Holy Roman Empire, that responded to the call. And there's good reasons for this. So in order to understand the political rebirth of European institutions and to understand who responded to the call, I think it's best to look at what Latin Christendom was like in the year 800, the time the Emperor Charlemagne was crowned. What were the institutions of the Carolingian Empire, the political and administrative institutions, and then see how these institutions evolve into the feudal kingdoms seen in 1095, particularly England, France, and the Holy Roman Empire, which encompassed not only what is now Germany, but Switzerland, the Low Countries, northern and central Italy. It was a much larger entity than just current Germany. Well, in 800 AD, Christendom was really quite small. The Frankish king Charlemagne had united the various Christian lands of Western Europe, and essentially what he ruled would be the heartland of the original European community. That is France, the Low Countries, what was once West Germany before the end of the Cold War, northern and central Italy, parts of Switzerland and Austria. This was the core of his kingdom. It was acquired through inheritance and conquest. This is the Carolingian Empire. In addition, in Western Europe, that is, kingdoms that would have recognized the authority of the Pope in Rome and would have considered themselves part of Latin Christendom, you had a small kingdom in northwestern Spain, the Kingdom of Asturias, precariously holding on to its independence from the far more powerful Muslim state that was based at Cordova. And then there were a series of petty kingdoms and chiefdoms in Ireland and Scotland, Wales and England. That is, the British Isles were also part of this Latin Christendom. By the time of 1095, the borders of Latin Christendom had expanded considerably, and we now have three great monarchies, England, France, and the Holy Roman Empire. Well, the Franks, the Germanic tribe who entered the Roman world in the 5th and 6th centuries AD, gave their name to France, were the most important newcomers into the Roman Empire for the future of Western European civilization. The Franks had taken over what was probably one of the most important provinces of the Roman world, Gaul. The dynasty that came to rule there were known as the Merovingians. Their most famous king was Clovis, from which we get the name Louis, actually, is derived from Clovis, who converted to Catholic Christianity, brought the Franks respectability in the eyes of the papacy. He and his successors, the Merovingian kings, ruled until this dynasty was finally deposed in 751. By their own ministers, the so-called Carolingians. The Merovingian kings based their rule on hereditary right. I think they were descended from a sea dragon or something who was the eponymous ancestor of this crowd. They also had a lot of sacral power and associations. There were ancient pagan associations where they were carried around in carts drawn by goats. In any case, this was an ancient Germanic kingship that now came to rule over a former portion of the Roman world. And the Merovingian kings adapted Roman institutions to their own use and handed out territories to their counts, or comes in Latin, that was an old Roman military term, who began to administer these regions at a local level. And the history of Merovingian kingship is one of increasing decentralization from the time of Clovis, running down until the final abolition of that monarchy. By the middle of the 7th century AD, usually associated with the reign of Dagobert II, the Merovingian kings had ceased to exercise effective authority outside of their immediate area.